Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and this is the time of the week, one of my favorite times of the week, when I am here sharing with you, listening to your questions, and bringing those to you from the other side. And guess who's with me tonight? Who do you think?
Good evening, Carolyn. What a fun time to be here.
Indeed. Everything's a fun time. And as we sent out to you in our email, Yeshua and Mary Magdalene are here. They want to come back, talk more about their mission, what they had accomplished. And if by chance you did not get an email from us, you really need to sign up and get our reminders. Richard, for those who have not signed up to get our email, what would you suggest that they do?
I suggest they go to www.the2012countdown.com and go to the bottom of any page on that website and just enter your name and email address. And then when you receive an email from our back-end system, just click on the opt-in link and bingo.
You're there. Now, Mary Magdalene and Yeshua have asked us to just hold back on the calls for 15 minutes. I know you're anxious with your questions, and it's a good thing. They are also anxious to bring forth information, so be patient with us, and we are going to connect with you as soon as we receive their initial messages. And so, Richard, is Yeshua tapping you on the shoulder yet?
Well, I suspect if I tune into him, he's probably there. Let me just see. He's here. And he is saying, thank you for this opportunity to come forth once more. I was excited to be able to join you last week with my glorious spouse in Mary Magdalene. And whilst we covered some important ground, there is so much more that we have to share with you. And so we would like to take the opportunity this week to talk specifically about some of the things that were parts of the mission that we had when we came. And if you like, score ourselves out of 10.
Let
you know how we did in terms of the completion of those elements. So, it'll be fun. Is there something you wish to say, or shall I get started with describing this?
Oh, I think you should get started right away. We want to see what number you're going to pull from 1 to 10.
And so, perhaps I should provide a little background to our mission, because for the most part, the perception of who and what we were and what we were about is, for the most part, misunderstood. And so let me, you could say, begin at the beginning. And in a way, the beginning is perhaps to be placed in Atlantis, where, as some of you understand, was an extraordinarily high level of ability for the human being. And indeed, that civilization, in a sense, spanned most of the planet at its height. It certainly, whilst it was located in a particular area, it influenced all other areas of the planet. And it truly was, in its own way, a very high level of consciousness where those present were able to, using the energies from the crystals, were able to create from the formless, to bring forth from the formless, if you will, from the background energies. And also, there was not this veiled consciousness that is currently present on the planet. And so those present at that time remembered who and what they were back to the moment of the creation of their souls, just like other beings, for the most part, elsewhere within the cosmos do. However, what happened was there were those of the dark who were able to achieve high positions, if you will. They became key players in the priest caste, you might say. And so they began to steer things off course. They began to claim for themselves the powers that were coming forth as a result of using these energies rather than acknowledging their creator. And so this, in essence, without going into all of the details, was at the heart of the reason for the fall. And I will mention to you that that event occurred the last time that your planet was in alignment with galactic center, as it will be with that solstice of December 2012. And so this is no accident. And indeed, those who were the leaders at that time, the leaders for the light, understood that this event that is now in your very near future would come to pass. That it was planned at the time that the fall was to happen, that indeed there would be a return to that high level of consciousness, that high level of ability. But there needed to be a purging, a laying low, you could say, and a rebuilding. And so that, in a sense, is what occurred. There was knowledge in many forms sent forth from Atlantis at that time to be able to alert humanity on some level to the unfolding of these things. One example of that is what you know of as the Mayan calendar. Those who brought that forth had their origins in Atlantis. Those looking at the Mayan calendar, for the most part, talk about the fact that these individuals studied the skies for several thousand years and figured all this out. If you think about it, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. These individuals were able to trace their history back to Atlantis, and their core information came from that source, and indeed they were able to communicate beyond the veil because they remembered how to do this. And so the Mayan calendar really was set up as a pointer for humanity in this time to what is unfolding, and you would have to say they achieved their objective. Indeed, if you look in many other cultures, there is also a message about these major cycles and the fact that 2012 is an important time in that regard. And I start with this because, for the most part, Mary Magdalene's and my mission was connected to what is about to unfold in your time. Again, if you look at most of what is spoken about who and what we were, there is no recognition whatsoever as to that connection. But indeed, I documented much of that in my writings. And yes, I wrote, although you would not know that looking at what has come forth. And I mention this because my writings will come forth. They will be brought forth between now and the end of 2012. And the connection between what we were doing then and what is happening now will become very clear. And so our mission primarily was about preparation for this time. Yes, we wanted to demonstrate some skills and abilities and work to uplift the awareness of those amongst whom we lived. But the key elements of our mission were firstly to relink, if you will, the connection between this dimension and the higher dimensions to which you will ascend. And some are aware that, in fact, that is what I did during the time after the crucifixion whilst I lay in the tomb. That shroud known as the Shroud of Turin, which indeed was covering my body, was imprinted with my image because of the energies that were flowing through my body at the time. You could say it was almost like my body was radioactive because of the work that I was doing. And so that was a key aspect of my mission. And no, I did not need to experience the crucifixion to undertake that work, but when I realized that this was going to happen, I realized it was a very good opportunity to undertake this work, and so I did. And so that aspect was achieved. And so if we're going to play out of 10, I'll rate that a 10.
All right.
And perhaps the other most significant aspect of the work that Mary Magdalene and I did was to bring forth a correction for the DNA of humanity. This may surprise you, and let me explain. There were those who came to your planet a long time ago who interfered with the human DNA for their own ends. And this interference meant that when it came time for this ascension process to occur in early 2013 as it's planned, that humanity would not be able to do this, or more particularly the reawakening of the DNA from its current two strands to return to being over 2,000 strands, which is due to occur at the end of December 2012, that event could not occur because of those changes to the DNA, and so the DNA of humanity needed to be corrected. And so there was a plan put in place, and what many of you do not understand is that the parents of both myself and Mary Magdalene had something in common. Both of our mothers were aspects of Ellora, the high cherubim angel, and our fathers were both aspects of Ellora's counterpart, who is known as Archangel Sandalphon. And so these two beings both sent forth aspects that became the parents of both of us. And the reason for this was to ensure that the DNA that we carried was a very high quality. And so as we came together, so our three children could bring forth the DNA correction which was required. This may sound amazing to you, but over those 2,000 years, those changes have easily flowed through all of humanity. And there are beings upon your planet who appear human but are not, and they will not benefit from these changes. And so every human being that is of human DNA origin will be able to participate in ascension as a result of, you could say, that work that we did. And indeed, there was follow-up work done by many who returned, and indeed, for the most part, they were, again, aspects of Ellora and Sandalphon that returned to strengthen that DNA stream that was, if you will, started by myself and Mary Magdalene at that time. And so that too was an important step in preparing for ascension. It was an essential step if this was going to occur. This has never been publicized in this way to this great degree, because it needed to be protected. Some of you are aware that great efforts were made by the Catholic Church to eliminate the bloodline of Mary Magdalene and myself, and because we as Essenes were able to see into the future, we were aware that these attempts would be made. And so we were very careful about how our children were cared for, where they went, and indeed they were protected. They were separated and protected to ensure that this change could flow through to all of humanity. And so I guess I would rate us a 10 on that one too. And there were other elements. We undertook a lot of teaching, as you may understand. We taught people how to go within, as you two indeed do today, how to go within and communicate with the physical body, which all of the Essenes knew how to do. So it was not just us that understood this. And to also communicate with the higher self and beings on the other side of the veil, we taught this. Some of you know that one of the things that I taught was that the only temple you needed was the physical body, and that all the answers were within you. And indeed that is so. And so that was a key aspect of my teaching, along with teaching others how to heal. And the ability to heal was very much an aspect of the skills that the early, what you might call, Christians had. But of course you will note that that all disappeared when Christianity became stamped, you could say, with the branding of the Catholic Church. But that is another story. I think he's finished, Carolyn.
Okay. And did he have a number that he wished to assign to that from 1 to 10?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Do you want to rate that one, Yeshua? He says he'll give it about a 5.
Now, did we want to take, did the two of these want us to take some questions from those who are calling in, or did Mary Magdalene wish to speak? What do you want to do, Yeshua?
He's saying, I feel that if you wish to take a short message from Mary Magdalene, Carolyn, she would be willing to give it to you, but she is very aware of your state, if you will. So if you wish to take a message, she will give it to you. If not, she understands.
I really do. I think it's so important for people to connect to this beautiful being. And so I would like to do that. Mary Magdalene, if you have a short message for our listeners. And I'm connecting to her. By the way, we do teach this skill to those who come to us for a soul healing, and it is something that is so beautiful. When Mary Magdalene comes to me, she usually, well, she likes silks. And you might think it's rather strange that she should wear silks, but there was a silk road that went through that area. Matter of fact, silk was transported to Rome at that time. And so she liked silks, and she had several colors that she enjoyed wearing. And tonight she is coming in this gorgeous, well, it's between a yellow and a cream. It's a very pale, like I said, a yellowish cream, and it just was so beautiful against her hair. She had highlights. Well, she shone in some places with red hair, but really it was more like new wine. It was what you might call a shade of auburn with reddish sort of highlights. If you think of a beautiful wine, that is the color of her hair. And this robe that she wears just is so gorgeous next to the color of her hair. And she has this message. She says, you know, I just love talking about love, because love is what opens up an individual. It is like a new lease on life. It is like a chapter that opens up in your life when you find someone who, yes, you love, but they are very special. They love you also. And the two of you do all that you can to make the other one happy, to carry their burdens, to carry their joys, to share everything that is of interest to each of you. And there is nothing more beautiful for a woman to stand next to the man that she loves and help him bring forth what he came to do. It is a satisfaction that one finds. It is like I stood there and I assisted him in every way that I could. And his joys were my joys. His sadness was my sadness. But we stood together. We looked in the same direction. And we agreed upon everything that we did. And there were times when one of us might have seen things in a different way. But because we were standing together, looking in the same direction, it was so easy to step in line with each other, to make little changes here or there. And the love was very intense. And I have mentioned this before, and I mention it again, because each of you, can also attain this state. You might think there are sacrifices. The world looks upon this as sacrificing. I never felt it that way. I never felt like my love brought any sacrifices into my life. I loved him in such a way that the most important thing in my life, besides my children, was to be of assistance to him, to help him bring forth his mission. We understood our missions before we came, and we planned them as we were there. Every moment we were intertwined with each other's objectives. I knew him so well. He never had to say anything, and yet I knew what was in his mind. I knew what was in his heart. I knew when he was happy or vexed over something, and I was there sharing his joys. And so I say to each of you, man and woman, work on this if you are in the blessed state of marriage. Work on it if it does not seem that way to you, because it is the most fulfilling thing in life. Besides working on your mission and bringing your mission forth, it is the thing that when you look into each other's eyes, you see yourself. Imagine that. You look into your beloved's eyes and you see yourself, because he is just as interested in making you happy as you are in making him happy. And you think of things all the time that would please each other. It is a blissful state, and I wish that for each and every one of you. Thank you, Mary Magdalene. We're going to start taking calls, and I see on line one from Texas is Shakia. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. Is this Shakia?
Yes.
Hello, dear. What can we do for you?
Yes, I would like to know, what is my mission and my here on Earth?
Well, we prefer to use these as a general statement for all of humanity, but yours is so easy to answer that it'll only take a moment. And so, Richard, would you get the answer from Yeshua, please?
Shakia, it is no accident that you would call in and ask, because there is a prompting within you to ask that question, because you feel a connection to this work. And that connection is because you are one of the many cherubim which are currently on this planet, and that automatically has you connected to this mission, because it is why you are here, to assist in the preparation for 2012 and beyond. And so, dear one, you are one who has come to bring forth the karmic clearing and rejuvenation commands that have been given to these two. And I ask that you send an email to Richard mentioning this conversation so that he can add you to that list. And I will take this opportunity to say to all other callers who wish to ask that question, Richard is quite capable of establishing whether you are to be on that list or not. So rather than take the time on this call to ask the question, I recommend you simply send an email to Richard and he will resolve this for you. I am aware that there have been quite a number who have taken that opportunity between our last call and this one. And as I said last week, for the most part, those of you who feel prompted to ask the question will almost certainly be on that list, because it is your soul prompting you to check, because your soul understands who and what you are. And so it is prompting you to step forward in that way, just as you, dear Shakir, have done in this moment. And so it is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Yeshua. And thank you, Shakir, for calling. Blessed one. Thank you. The next caller is Peter from Reno, Nevada, and he is on line two. Hi, Peter.
Hello. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can. And what can we do for you?
I wasn't really ready for a question, but I would like to know why it was such a long time that Mary Magdalene had to be away from Jesus, because apparently from what I read in her book, which was great, there was quite a long period before she finally crossed over.
I would like Yeshua to give that background, because I suspect that there is a piece that is missing as to far as where Yeshua was at the end of what would be considered the crucifixion. So, Yeshua, would you answer that question, please?
The period after the crucifixion was a difficult time. Firstly, I spent some time with my what you call disciples to ensure that they had all the necessary knowledge to go forth with their work. And then I fairly quickly joined Mary Magdalene in France. However, what occurred was that my life as it was planned was foreshortened, because even though I had great healing skills, I was unable to completely heal my physical body. And this was because of interference from those ones of the dark that you are perhaps by now well familiar with. And so they interfered with my healing as best as they could, and it was sufficient to foreshorten my life. And so it was that there were quite a few years where Mary Magdalene lived alone in France, and she found that time very difficult. Many of you are aware that she spent some time in a cave in southern France that is well recognized as being a cave where she spent quite a deal of time, and it has become almost a chapel in its own right. And so it was a difficult time for her after I left. That happens in life, it happens in your consciousness, as it were, and she did her best to complete the tasks that she had come to fulfill.
Thank you for that question, Peter. I would like to ask Yeshua to, you might say, bring more understanding to that question, because I suspect that even though you were on the other side, you and she still connected with one another, even though you were not in physical form. Is this something that you care to bring more information forth about?
Sorry, Carolyn, could you say that again? I got a little lost in things that were not working here for me.
Okay. Yeshua was on the other side.
Yes.
And Mary Magdalene was here. And even though he was not in physical form, they still communicated with one another. And I would like to know if he wished to address that a little bit.
Yes. As you would appreciate, Mary Magdalene had the ability to communicate with me on the other side, and so we did that often. Indeed, it was a major focus of her time in that cave, that grotto, as it were. She spent quite a deal of her time in contact with me, and we worked quite closely together during that time. We were undertaking important energy work. So, yes, we had a great deal of contact through that time because, as I say, she had the ability to readily communicate with me or indeed any other beings on the other side of the veil, just as indeed any of you can if you simply practice that skill.
Thank you, Yeshua. And to the listeners, I asked Yeshua to bring forth a little bit more information about that because many people do not understand this, that we can communicate with other forms of consciousness, whether it's people on the other side that were members of our family, masters, trees, a rock, any form of consciousness, we are able to go within and communicate with it from the right side of the brain. And I did want to mention that so individuals can start thinking about that. You know, we sometimes consider ourselves in this box of reality that, you might say, prevents us from looking at the world in a questioning manner. And I would say it's very important to look beyond what seems apparent because there is another world there. And so I'm bringing forth Teresa from Arizona. She's on line 3. Teresa.
You know, we sometimes consider ourselves in this box of reality that, you might say, prevents us from looking at the world.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you, Teresa. I don't know if your line, what happened here. Teresa, we're not being able to connect with you, my dear, and maybe what you should do is call back on another line or call back and we'll take your question right away because we want to give everybody a chance to have their questions answered. So for whatever reason, Teresa faded away. She, you might say, fell out the back door. So come back and, okay, let's see. Roger from Florida is on line 1. Hello, Roger.
Thanks for taking my call, Carolyn. Hello, Beth.
You're welcome.
I have a very specific question for Yeshua. Just about 14 years ago, I've experienced a phenomenon in my body as far as I could say, you know, I discovered that later in life. I've experienced quite a few things around the past over time where I've experienced all the a bunch of pains through my body, my feet. And the thing that shocked me the most is when I felt the crown around my head. I needed to find out the exact meaning of this phenomenon.
So I would like to have you clarify something. So what you're saying is you had the sense that you were feeling the wounds of the crucifixion. Is that what
right.
you're saying?
That is
okay.
correct.
Okay. Yeshua, do you have some insight into this for Roger, please?
Uh, There are many who over time have experienced aspects of that crucifixion experience. And there are many reasons for this. You are aware, for example, of those who have brought forth what are referred to as the stigmata, the wounds themselves, and those wounds bleed. This is well documented with many individuals throughout the time since then. And you could say this is because they have felt such a very close connection to me. And they have felt that connection so closely that they have felt drawn to express the anguish that they perceived that I felt. And this is what triggers these signs coming forth. The physical body is much more malleable, much more flexible, much more capable of performing unusual functions, if you will, than the majority of humanity understand. And so, indeed, it's possible for any body's physical form to bring forth those signs if they are sufficiently motivated to do so. And so these individuals that have displayed those characteristics are those, as I say, that felt this very strong connection with their perception of the anguish that I felt. And I say perception because few of them understand, if any of them understand, the true nature of my experience at that time. And I say this because, yes, of course, there was pain in the body. However, few understand the level of mastery that I had over the physical body. It was something that I was taught from a very young age, beginning with my earliest teachers, and was strengthened very greatly with my time in India and the Himalayas, notably with Babaji and others. And so my ability to still my vital signs and to disconnect from the reactions of the physical body to this experience was quite powerful. And so I want you to understand this. And so back to your specific experience, what you experienced was connected to that identification, that sense of identification that on some level you feel to that experience that I went through. Do you feel a very close connection to me?
Absolutely, and constantly.
And this is why this has come forth for you. And I would encourage you to feel your love for me, but to release any desire to identify with that experience of mine, because in truth that was a very small part of my life. The version of my life that has come forth to you through what is termed Christianity, and in particular the version of it as it has been packaged by the Catholic Church and hence practiced now by, in some form, most of the so-called Christian religions, all identify with my crucifixion and all that was supposedly associated with it. Please release that, because I do not carry the pain and anguish about it that those of you who identify with it in the way you are feel I did. So please release it. There is no reason for you to take this on in this manner. Feel that love and release that anguish. And should you choose to do so, a soul healing session with Carolyn and Richard would help you greatly in releasing this predisposition that you carry, so that you are free to feel the love without this reaction.
Thanks so much, Ryan.
Thank you for bringing that forth, Roger, and thank you, Yeshua. I'd like to ask, did Roger live during that time when you were on Earth 2,000 years ago?
Roger was indeed present in that lifetime. He was also part of that Essene community, and that is indeed why he feels such a connection in this lifetime, because in part he is recalling the connection in that lifetime. This is a common thing which happens, these connections between lifetimes, and as humanity begins to remember their past lives, these connections will make more sense. But it's like these little fountains of connection pop up in this lifetime as they connect back into past lives.
Thank you, Yeshua. The next individual is Tony from Arizona. He is on line two. Tony.
Hi. Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Tony.
I'm calling in to basically say that I feel I've always had a really deep connection with Yeshua ever since I can remember, since I was little, and as well as with Mother Mary. I feel that some of my reawakening skills for healing and for understanding people very deeply and trying to help people have come to enlighten me, because I've learned that I was Yeshua's son back in the time when the Essenes and Yeshua and Mary Magdalene were here. So I'd like to say hello, Dad, and hello, Mom.
Yeshua, do you wish to comment on this?
I wish to say that what you have experienced, Tony, is something that's very important for humanity to understand, and that is that there are many souls that come into form, particularly in this lifetime leading up to ascension, where souls have chosen to come in with templates of other souls so that they may learn very quickly from that experience. And that is why, for example, there are many individuals upon the planet who think they were Mother Mary or Mary Magdalene or me, or, and so it goes on. And Tony, I do not wish to in any way upset you or disappoint you, but you were not my son in truth. It was not your soul that sent forth the one who came forth as my son, but you have chosen in this lifetime to adopt the template of one of my sons for your own soul growth and experience. And so I do thank you for asking this question, because it allows me to bring forth this understanding for so many others who, again, feel very strongly that they are a particular being. It may not necessarily be the case, and that is not in any way to diminish the experiences that you have as a result, because indeed that is the entire purpose of bringing the template forth. But humanity in general does not understand this opportunity that has been used to bring forth the templates of other souls. And should you get readings from others, they will connect with that template in most instances, and so others will tell you that you are that being, when in fact they have not understood the role of templates in this way.
Thank you, Yeshua. And I would like to just add a little thought to that, is people take on templates also because it is a shortcut to great spiritual growth. They are taking on the understanding that other souls have gained. Do you want to add something to that, Yeshua?
I think you have said it all very well.
Thank you. And thank you, Tony. We're going to go to Susanna now from California, who is on line three. Susanna, are you there? Well, Susanna, if somehow you've gotten cut off.
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
It's your turn, dear.
sorry. Anyway, I'm really honored and touched to be able to speak with Yeshua, have this opportunity. Yeshua, I have a couple of questions pertaining to Richard and Carolyn's work with the commands. And Richard has expressed that he feels that this is my next step would be to be a part of this work. And I'm really excited about it. I have always considered you, Yeshua, my teacher, mentor, and inspiration in the healing work that I do. And I want to thank you for being so present in my life. In the command work, my question is about ascension. From what I've studied and learned from Saint Germain and other masters, they have taught that ascension can be achieved over a period of a few days. And Richard has talked about the command process and the rejuvenation process that will be achieved over a few days. But my guide Philos once told me that my rejuvenation process would happen over the course of time, and that throughout my 60s it would be a long, you know, sort of a unfolding process taking years. And I'm just, of course, if we can accomplish this in a few days by God's grace, it's fantastic. So that's my question, really. Is this going to unfold slowly, or will it unfold rather quickly once we receive the commands for rejuvenation?
The nature of the rejuvenation process, as it will be triggered by the rejuvenation command, will be indeed quite rapid. For the most part, for most people, it will occur within about 3 days. Some will be faster than this. Some will take several more days, depending on the nature of the, you could say, repair work to the physical body. But most people will experience rejuvenation within about 3 days. As I mentioned, the capabilities of the physical body are far greater than, for the most part, humanity understands and accepts. Yeah. And so it is, I would also add, not just about rejuvenating the physical body in the sense of making it younger or returning it to, you could say, the preferred physical age of the individual, but it will bring forth a perfection in the body that was never there at that time, and most importantly, it will bring forth that first phase of the Adam Kadmon physical body, which is an essential step to be able to pass through the ascension process. So it is quite extraordinary looking at it from your dimension as to what is about to unfold when this command comes forth. And what will be, I sense, quite exciting is that the workshops within which these commands will, for the most part, be given will run at the very least 3 days. And so these commands, given that they will be used at the beginning of these events, will lead to some of the attendees at those events exhibiting rejuvenated physical bodies by the end of those events. I think this might create some impact. What do you think?
Phenomenal. Yes, it will, as Richard said, it will be the testimonial, the testimony for ascension, the proof that not that one needs proof to believe, but it will certainly be a sign that will bring so many people to wake up and be receive what you're offering. And I guess there's no way to express the gratitude, but it just seems so much that there's really no way that part of me feels like we don't deserve this, and yet here it is being offered to everyone.
Well, Suzanne, it is the plan for this planet and our spiritual advancement. So Just hang on to that. It's the plan for all of us. Susanna,
yes.
Thank you for your question, dear. And we're going to move on to the next individual, which I think is Mario from Romania. He's on line one.
Yes, yes. Hello, Carolyn. This is Marius, actually, from Romania.
That's wonderful. Yes, we can hear you. And what is your question, dear?
I have only four questions, but I'm happy with two for Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had a kind of strange experience like 2 years ago. I woke up with a cross with Jesus crucified under my pillow in one morning. And I was wondering if just Yeshua has a comment on that. It was something divine or something just I couldn't remember I did it myself or some other member of my family did it.
Okay, let me review what you're saying. I think what you said is you were asleep one night and you woke up and there was a picture under your pillow of Yeshua. Is that accurate?
No, actually a cross with Jesus crucified. Yes,
okay,
cross.
So it was a cross of Yeshua crucified
cross.
Under your pillow.
Yes.
And you want Yeshua to comment on that?
Yes.
Okay, Richard, can Yeshua comment on this, please?
Let's see. This was sent forth as a sign to you to remind you of your connections to not so much my crucifixion, but your connection to me, because you shared that lifetime and you were very closely connected with me, and you had agreed to awaken to that connection, and you were not awakening as you had understood that you would when you came to the planet. And so this was sent to assist you to begin to reawaken and begin to connect with what is unfolding in this time.
Thank you for your answer, Yeshua. I would like to ask an additional question for Mario. Did he live with you during that period of time? I mean, was he part of your community?
He was an Essene and was very closely connected to the work that I was doing. He supported the work that I did very closely. He was not one of what you term the disciples, but he was an important healer, and he carried great knowledge in that lifetime. And so he had returned in this lifetime to reconnect with the unfolding of ascension. And perhaps the outcome of that experience is his calling in and connecting with me in this time.
And so the purpose of all of this is he taken on, you might say, the mission of bringing forth the commands to the people of his country?
He indeed is one who has come forth to do that work in his country.
Thank you, Yeshua. So, Mario, just send Richard an email if you're so inclined, and he'll put you on the list.
Yes, of course. I will do that. But can I ask another question, please?
Well, you know, I would love to do this, but we don't have a lot of time, and we have another caller. We'd like to give everybody at least a chance. Thank you, Mario. And we have, I guess, Catherine from Oregon is on line two.
Is that me?
That's you, dear.
Yeah, okay. I have lots of questions. One quick one.
Take your most important question because we're running out
of
time.
When I was 18 years old, I was in a convent in England and had a very powerful experience. And I was wondering if Yeshua could comment on that.
Okay, you were in a convent. You had a powerful experience. Do you care to give us a little clue as to what this experience might
be? Well, I was out picking berries in the yard when I saw a blinding light, which I believe was Yeshua.
Okay, that's a good description. So, Yeshua, this lovely lady wants to know if this blinding light was you.
It was a symbol that was sent forth to you, and indeed it was sent forth by me to you to again remind you of your connection to me. You had been drawn to connect to what has been called my church, if you will, but in fact was not. And your connection really is on a spiritual level. And so this sign was sent to open the connection directly to me.
Okay,
so does that answer your question, dear?
Yeah, it does. Do you have time for anything more? Or?
That's beautiful, and I thank you for calling in. We've run out of time, and we must leave. And so I would like to thank Yeshua and Mary Magdalene and you, Richard, for being here. It is time for us to leave.
Thank you, Carolyn, for doing the beautiful job you always do to bring all of this forth for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. And so until next week, may you be on our list and find out who's going to be with us next week. Goodbye for now.